Support for The Conversation comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributors Inter-Island Solar Supply, Kaiser Permanente, and Hastings and Pleadwell, a communication company.
Isaac Ho'opi'i was on the job as a canine police officer at the Pentagon on September 11, 2001. And when he heard the first explosion, his training kicked in. He ran into the burning building and was able to save lives through his quick actions. In the years since, Isaac has given a lot of thought to the mindset of first responders like himself. He's at the center of a new film showing at the Hawaii International Film Festival called Corridor 4. And we spoke with him about the day that changed his life.
The only thing not what goes through your mind is how you're going to react,
right?
Especially with training, as well as everything that you put yourself in service, repetition.
Right.
Then when an incident do happen, you put all your tools together and see either you will respond or, early, like I said, fight or flight.
Fight or flight, yeah.
Yeah, and your nervous system takes over,
mm-hmm.
Your adrenaline kicks in, or your endorphins mm-hmm. kick in, and you try to focus on just the incident itself.
Yeah. When what your responsibilities, that's where training kicks in, right?
Sure.
Training almost seems to allow you to go on a kind of automatic pilot. You function without stopping to think about everything you're doing. Is that an accurate description?
Yeah, because in a line of work, in any type of line of work, from first responders, I'm talking about EMTs, firefighters, or I'm speaking for law enforcement, we train for the worst scenario that would happen, and nobody really thought
sure.
we would hit the building, but on the survival skills that you were training, you just let your body and mind take over.
Right.
Saving lives, or what's the next move,
mm-hmm.
Getting the area safe. But as time went on, you start realizing, okay, were there biological, radioactive, chemical, that was involved? But just during that time, you were trained to serve and protect,
sure.
and save, or help out people.
So what were the first things that you saw? First things you heard, first things you saw?
Besides hearing a big explosion, the ground shook. I was only about 2 miles away, but after getting first officer on the scene, because, that's where I work at.
Right.
Being the first officer on the scene, all you can do, when I pull my vehicle up, I run into the building, on the where the impact was, everything was moving in slow motion.
Yeah.
Of course, you see people just walking out with, half of their clothes torn off, barefoot, or mainly, people just ask, what happened? you've seen the windows blown out. And then, of course, you see that big fireball going. And then you just hear, people, calling out
yeah.
for help. And then that's when I just went straight to a person popped up, by a window. I just grabbed them, pulled them out.
Mm-hmm.
Took them about 25 yards. We started building, just dropping people in a safe area.
Right.
And then they built that area like a triage.
Triage.
Yeah. When a lot of first medical teams started showing up.
Right.
But that's after going in the building several times, just trying to look for survivors.
Task is to get people out of that building.
Sure, yeah.
And get them to the triage.
Correct. Even when the incident happened, get a call from my supervisor saying, hey, I'm giving a direct order, don't go in the building. Of course.
Yeah.
he was thinking, I think, the safety for all his teammates, sure. You know, his officers. But in the same token, I mean, human nature just kicks in.
Yeah.
And
could you hear voices inside the building? You know, people calling out for help. And
yeah, it was, I don't want to say, you know, calling out for help, but it's just an eerie calling out, you know, last desperation on their lives, you know, calling out. So, I mean, you know, even though the incident happened during that time, I don't wish anybody go through the same experience. Now it's just how you cope and, you know, move forward. Some of the good things I love to share is, you know, talking about the incident because it's how we can prevent or see how we can move forward for big traumatic incidents like that.
Well, 9/11 got us thinking about first responders probably more than we ever had before because, you know, there was incredible heroism shown on that day. There were people ran into the building when people were running out.
Sure.
And that's, you've given a lot of thought since then to what happens in the mind of the first responder, which is not something I think had been given a lot of thought before. So much is expected of you as a first responder, right?
Sure. Especially as a law enforcement, police officers, when they go into a gunfight, you know, one of the things that some of the protocols that we have set in place, you know, go on administrative leave. Now, you know, make sure that officers write up a statement, incident report. And
yeah.
But nobody really took the time to find out the health and welfare on the person. Because, you know, he probably took somebody else's life.
Yeah.
And everybody reacts different. And then now he's going to be scrutinized because of whatever that incident happened.
Mm-hmm.
And now within the world, how you see things, you know, police officer shot a kid or, you know, or shooting somebody either with an arm. Unless you were there, everybody else can put their two cents in saying how it happened or what happened or this shouldn't be done and this amendment rights. But it's the same principle or concept when you have a traumatic event.
Well, very, very few people get the opportunity to have adrenaline take over and have training kick in with the intensity that you experienced or that, you know, a police officer experiences on a potentially deadly situation, right?
Correct.
That's kind of been your cause since 9/11.
Yeah, I mean, especially with how crime has changed in a different perspective now, besides, you know, years ago, how, you know, you're a police officer going up to somebody and you tell them, hey, what you're doing is wrong. But now it's unfortunate. Now the criminals are more, they're getting more intelligent, getting, you know, they're becoming more well-educated, where
better tools.
Yeah. But again, that's where the new interventions of new things coming out. So I've seen my agency grew so much from a law enforcement side to now security services / law enforcement and to different other avenues, what is used to intercept the, you know, terrorism and stuff.
Well, what are you doing for the whole phenomenon of essentially PTSD in first responders?
Well, as you know, Chris, we have this, you know, quarter four.
Right.
At first, when he created the two producers, Steve Trujillo and Maria Bissell, we started off as just a local boy being in, you know, nation's capital.
Right.
And, you know, helped on 9/11. You know, it was, I want to show on the positive side besides what happened in Washington, D.C., but the positive side that, you know, a local boy just did well for, you know, representing Hawaii.
Sure.
But as time went on, I did tell Steve, the director, I said, hey, listen, you should talk to this officer. Talk to this officer. As time went on, he said, hey, Isaac, I think there's a little more twist to it than,
yeah.
And that's where, you know, a lot of them, I don't want to say they're getting depressed or going through some changes in their life, but
yeah.
I think my, not role, but to bring out there that people need to understand that within any type of traumatic event
right.
in your life, and it can be from a social worker as well as a regular individual working in administrative, you know, stress level can pick up real quick.
Sure.
Now, if you don't have some of the tools that you can have in place, and what we have, like I said, it's called a CINT program, mm-hmm. Crisis Intervention Negotiating Team and or peers group, that we go out to help out some of these officers have personal, financial, even work issues. You can tell how the change of moods and
yeah.
And sometimes just talking and or listening to what they have to vent.
Well, Isaac, given the blue-on-blue code, it has to be peers, is what you're saying.
I mean, yes, but, you know, as a supervisor, sometimes some right. officers won't come to, but when they do open up from another officer, hey, Sergeant Hoop, you need to talk to this person, because I said, all right, talk to him. If it's above my pay grade, but I know where they're heading to,
right.
then I would give them some references saying, hey, I think try to talk to the person. Doesn't have to be at work. Uh-huh. Take it outside so it's more personal. And, you know, of course we have the, you know, they have their own privacy, you know.
Yeah.
But if they don't share or talk to someone from that capacity,
yeah,
you know, that's where it starts building up and building up. So at quarter four, some of the officers that I got involved, I'm talking from the first line, the captain, lieutenant, even one of the officers, he got to share. He's retired, but even knowing what some of the changes he went through,
right.
it was nice that he could come up to me and just talk. I mean, and the best thing to do, you know, in this situation is just listen. Just listen and let him, you know, vent or share his, you know, experience.
And you've seen that do some good.
Oh, yeah. It was same with the guy I helped, Wayne Sinclair. He would call me every year, the individual I helped from 9/11. And just before the date of 9/11, he would call the day prior or day of. And we would talk, how's your family? How are you doing? What's going on? And then 10 minutes into the conversation, he goes right back of the incident, where he was, what he thought happened. You know, he would cry a little because, you know, I wouldn't be here right now and not see my grandkids. And I would just say, no, I understand. I hear what you're saying. You know, I'm glad you're here. Just real small yeah. talk on my side, but just let him vent. And every year so far, 16 years, I still hear from him every, you know, every anniversary.
Isaac Ho'opi was a canine police officer at the Pentagon on September 11, 2001. He was the first officer to run into the building and is credited with saving a number of lives. The film Corridor 4, which tells the story of Isaac's life in the aftermath of 9/11, is screening at the Hawaii International Film Festival this Saturday at 12:45 at the Toll Gannery Theater in Honolulu. You can find a link to the film's website on the Conversation Facebook page.